Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
It's week 7 on the Deliberate Practice Podcast with my co-host, Andy Ryland. Andy, always great to talk ball with you.
Pleasure to be here, Keith. Like you said, the series has been great so far, and excited about today's episode because it's a little bit different, but I think addresses some real-world problems.
Yeah, and the real-world problem we're talking about today is bringing the juice. You hear coaches talk about that all the time. It's that energy. It's that effort that goes along with what you need to be successful on the field. And, you know, we're at a point that there's several reasons. You know, I talked about it with the good doctors, you know, hitting those slumps during the season that sometimes you got to find your way out of those. You got to avoid those if you haven't hit them yet. And I think a solution to what we're doing can be summarized in that one word, juice.
No, 100%. I mean, it's become the coaching term of choice. It's probably associated with caffeinated beverages and all of our energy drinks and coaches being loud on the field. We want energy to be there. We want to have fun. You know, we play music. We do all those things. But at some point, all that is just kind of out there, floating in the ether. And it has to be internalized to our players. And it has to be real and meaningful for them to get everything we want out of practice.
Absolutely. And as coaches, we can get burned out pretty quick if we're the only ones providing that. In fact, we're better off if we're there to support it rather than being the force behind it. Now, sometimes you have to do that. There will be those situations where that's required, where you're going to have to lead in that regard. But there's a lot of those situations where we need that player leadership. We need those players to follow that leadership, and they have to be the ones who are really bringing it.
100%. The coaches I've respected most have shared one thing in common with all the different teams and even different sports, and it was the belief that it was always the players' team, that each year it's a different team, it's a different journey. I believe Coach Kyle said it's a different chapter in your book of coaching, and those players have to write it because ultimately we're not the ones out there on Friday night.
And that's exactly it. Well, let's get into this and make it a little bit more tangible, Andy. You know, as with everything we've looked at in this podcast, you know, we've not just put those terms out there and left them as something abstract or intangible. We really put some thought into it so you could go out there on the field and find ways to bring that into your practice, into your drills, into your group periods, into your team periods, whatever it might be. So from a practical standpoint, Andy, I think you have some great stories that have been shared with you from coaches around the country on how we can do some of these things. So I'll let you get the ball rolling in that regard.
And yeah, we've talked about, you know, like keeping things great and keeping things moving and high level skill development. But we're at the point in the season that there are some teams whose records mathematically, they may already be out of the playoffs or they're not going to win their conference. And that's where I think bringing the energy can be really important. So I was talking and working with a coach that had some struggles early season, a lot of young players on the team, lost a couple games in a row, and now they're trying to fight through. So he was looking at how he can really bring the energy, but he knew that he couldn't force it. So we started talking about his work in the classroom, about, you know, student-centered teaching. And he thought, you know, let's bring this to our players, have them take ownership. So when they came in, I believe it was a Monday, they came in after the game. He had a little form he had made on, I think, the Google form. So all the information got filtered back to him. And one of the questions he asked is, what are you struggling most with? And the examples, you know, were a particular scheme, could have been something physical like speed or power or whatever it was. And players wrote some incredibly deep things. There was talk about a player who got nervous in big situations, third downs and stuff, because he had this horrible memory of, I believe, as a ninth grader, dropping a game-winning touchdown pass that he clearly should have caught, and now he was nervous about being the big play guy. Multiple offensive linemen said they needed help with the speed rush or speed off the edge. And now the coach was able to collect that data, look at where his players were struggling, and the players then got rewarded for being honest with drills and training that supported that. What that does when we break it down, and I'm not a psychologist, but we're breaking it down so now the player sees the coach trying to make me better. And it's not just the same old drills, or it's not the things that the coach said, hey, I saw this on film. It was player-led. It was deep inside. It was what they knew or they felt they challenged and struggled them on game day. So imagine being open enough with your coach, but then being rewarded on Tuesday when we say, hey, we're going to work on the speed rush. And, you know, for that group, we had to use some of our offsides training techniques where we let the defense cheat and line up offsides to simulate the speed they were struggling with. So we had to create some creative drills and get after it. But the players bought in and they said Wednesday and Thursday were the best days of practice they had had all year. And they played their best game of the year because they were invested. Their energy was high and they saw the coaches were caring about developing them individually. So it's a different way to look at it. But sometimes those player-centered approaches can really drive motivation. When you drive the motivation because you're trying to fix that player and make him better, which is what everyone wants, their buy-in goes up, their attention to detail goes up, the effort they put into those individual drills goes up, and all of a sudden, without even knowing it, our practice was running on fire, and guys said, hey, you know what the change was from last week? It was the energy, enthusiasm, the way we practiced hard. And I think it's a great little story of how sometimes thinking a little bit differently can be better than slamming two Red Bulls.
Yeah, definitely, Andy. I love the player-centered approach. Recorded a podcast with the doctors, Dr. Garrity and Dr. Kuklick, specifically about some of those details of that. That'll be coming up here on the podcast. But we also talked about this idea, believe it or not, with Brian Kite, and I did include a post I had in there on the blogs about how I would go through and identify with my players what they felt comfortable with within our different schemes. And that was a checklist I had, much like you said here, where they essentially would go through and on a particular technique or assignment, they would put in there whether they need work, whether they were secure, or whether they felt they excel at it. And that allowed me, number one, to see where they felt they were at. And this goes back to some things you and I talked about with confidence. But at the same time, then it allowed me to kind of tweak that practice plan to make sure I was working some different things there. I think in regard to that player-centered practice, I want to mention something I did, and this is in a blog as well, is we had work on your own time for the offensive line. And usually that would come during a special teams period where they weren't involved. We want to maximize that time there, but really put the approach to kind of that player-centered approach, maybe some of that peer-to-peer learning you'd get from it. And those guys would just be given a general parameter, like within this period, you're going to get a partner and you're going to work your different counters to pass rush moves. And they would, you know, start to work some of those things. Guys might, from another player, start to learn to develop another one, or from that working with a younger guy, with a guy who's out on the field as a starter, maybe get some pointers or tips on things that he might see. And again, those are the guys who are in the fire doing it all the time, and now they get to instruct each other, and it kind of puts the focus on, you know, the instruction, the learning, rather than let's get more reps, let's get in line all together and do these specific drills. So for me as the coach, I was there for support. I would go around, I'd be watching each guy, I would offer suggestions, I would tweak things, but it gave me an opportunity as I'm watching what they're working to understand maybe things they weren't secure in and be able to offer them some help in those different areas.
No, that's a great point. It reminds me of another story of a high school coach, very active on Twitter, who told me that he had started cutting his practices shorter a little later in the season, trying to save some energy, but gave his guys at the end a 10-minute work on your own time. And he didn't really know how it was going to go, but he said now he's having to kick the guys off the field because they stay and they address their weaknesses. And we had talked about our letting our players call the own 7-on-7 mm-hmm. to find out what they're comfortable with. I think this is the exact opposite, where when you give guys some free time to work on the technique they think they're most struggling on, you may learn something about your players. As you mentioned, you're watching the guys during this pre-practice or post-practice 10-minute period and seeing who's doing what. And then you can have that quality conversation with him about addressing that issue or that scheme that he finds difficult to mentally process. Hey, I love our gap schemes, but I'm struggling in the zone a little bit, understanding the concept. Great. Let's charge those out. But that personal individual touch, and I think learning can drive motivation. And when players start to see themselves getting better, I think their internal motivation goes through the roof, and that in turn drives energy. And that's what we really want. And so I think when we talk about juice, we have to be careful that it's not what I would label surface coaching of just energy. Agree with you, there's times where we need to just chatter it up and get it up and get the energy moving, but that our juice is based on energy, which is based on motivation, which is based on me seeing myself getting better, me supporting my teammates, and me helping to contribute to our group being the best it can be. If we can start establishing that, especially for the teams that haven't had great starts and, you know, they need something to hold on to keep them throughout the season, well, hold on to getting better. Hold on to seeing yourself becoming a better version of you. It's a great way to address our players and keep that energy through the season when things get a little tough.
I think you could tie this directly into the film that you watch on Saturday with your players. Good practice here would be to have them write down the things that they need to work on in the next week and then provide them that time, that player-driven practice time, to go out there and get better. And it's as simple as, for example, let's say receivers as an example. Maybe it's route stems and your guys are struggling with route stems, some in different ways. Now they can work their route stems. So maybe it's your outside guys who are running against some different corner techniques or something that maybe they saw in film study of the next opponent that they haven't worked yet. Again, them getting used to, getting comfortable at getting better with a certain technique. And that could be different, though, than what your slot receivers might need. Your slot receiver might need to work against a defender who's going to collision him on that initial release from the line of scrimmage. And that's something he's struggling with. So instead of boxing your players into, hey, we're all going to work on this, you allow them to kind of pick and choose. This is what I really need to work on to be more successful on the field. And in terms of seeing that change from guys who are maybe just cashing it in and going through the motions and they're going through the drill because you told them to, now they're taking a specific vested interest in what you're doing. And I think that allows you that opportunity, like you said, to bring that energy, to bring the effort you need, to bring the juice you need at this time of the year, whether that's to propel yourself to that next level and get into the playoffs or win a conference championship, or honestly, to find a way to salvage the season and to make something of it because some of those goals have disappeared.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, is that when the goals disappear, what are the new things we're hanging on to? And you absolutely hit the nail on the head with that one. I can't stress it enough. I hope coaches will think about this. And it's probably not what you expected from our podcast labeled Juice, but finding goals and tangible benefits of us getting better can help continue their internal drive. We all love our passionate speeches and we can try to do all that stuff. But at some point, I think we know we have to get to their internal motivations. And these are some great tips to try to do that.
I don't know who it was, Andy, one of the coaches, either from the NFL or from the FBS level. I saw it on probably SportsCenter or something like that the other day, them making the point that we don't coach football, we teach football. And certainly, you know, there are aspects of coaching and teaching, and you do have to go out there and coach. But their point that we're really going to get out here and continue to instruct our players to find ways to get them better. And I think that's a big part of what we're talking about here. And bringing the juice is we also are not going through the motion as coaches and slapping down a drill on our practice plan. We're also finding ways for these guys to get better and to really feel that you are giving them that individual attention that they need.
No, 100%. That quote, and we'll include it there, came from Andrew Whitworth, all-pro, longtime tackle with the Bengals, who's now moved over to the Rams, talking about working with Coach McVay and some of the differences. And I think it's spot on about teaching football, understanding football, giving players a role, helping them get better, allowing them the ability to express themselves through their technique and their skills on a Friday night. I don't think anything is more motivating than that. And I think it's the best way to give our players what they need at this point in the season. Because the same holds true for players that are, or teams that are doing really well. We know we can't get comfortable, right? We don't want those guys to get the big heads and read the newspaper clippings. So what do? We can run the same exercise. Hey, guys, let's talk about which runs or which pass concepts or which schemes do you like best? Okay, which ones are you struggling with? Now, as a coach, you're probably going to, you know, double down on the things you're doing best because that's how you're going to win games. Doing those plays well got you to this point. But to keep the players motivated, looking at some of those techniques and bringing up some of the things that are lacking can help keep them focused and not get a little bit lazy here with, hey, what we're doing is working. We're doing things great. And we're winning ball games. But when we take the hard look and identify, how can I get better? There's always a few things. And if the coaches start inserting those into practice, the players aren't highly motivated because they see I can still get better, which reminds me of a Nick Saban's quote where he jokingly asked the newspaper reporters to write the things they weren't doing well so the players had something to work on and get better and not get too focused on this winning streak. And I thought it was an interesting take. And again, something coaches can use with their team to keep the energy up as players are focused on new individual goals of getting better. And again, anytime we talk individual goals, we have to frame them within these things are going to support our team because you are a link in the chain, and that can really drive some positive energy.
I agree, Andy, in your point on the successful team finding some use in this, I think is very poignant as well. The mistake I think we make as coaches, as we start to have success with things, we think we can move on or we can add more wrinkles or, hey, let's put this concept in because beat this team. And the reality of it is you're at a point and things are getting good because you've accumulated the reps within there. And I'm not saying muscle memory. I'm talking about the timing. I'm talking about player understanding, all those different things that they're starting to see those pictures that make sense to them and that they can execute. So we try to, I think, at times, keep them engaged, keep them from getting stagnant by throwing new things at them. And I would suggest maybe that's not what to do at this point. That maybe you look at what we're talking about here and finding ways to bring out what they feel they can get better at for the coming weeks. And I see this all the time. I could say that I've made those mistakes in my career myself. But specifically going to the game of a quarterback that I work with, I saw that all of a sudden he was in the pocket longer than he usually is. The ball wasn't coming out of his hands. He wasn't putting it into some of the seams that I've seen him throw over the previous weeks, that things were looking a little bit different to him for some reason. And it was a game as we went over film and prepped for that week and looked at the different coverage indicators. It was all stuff he was used to seeing, and he could really attack that opponent with the things they were doing. So after the game, I saw him and said, hey, you guys put some new stuff in this week, didn't you? And he said, yes, we did. I said, I could tell because your timing was just off. It wasn't the same I've usually seen. You weren't hitting some of those passes down the field. You were holding the ball more. And I think that's the mistake, that we think we need more to attack those other opponents, where in reality, it's we need to find the things that we can get better at within those schemes. There's always room for growth. But I think directing our players into new schemes, new plays, really sets us up potentially to fail.
Yeah, it's a great point. And that failure can hurt motivation, which in turn hurts energy. And I think it can be, it's more challenging now for coaches than it was in previous years because of, let's be honest, social media, that we can see cool and new, exciting plays that we've never seen before, crazy formations and wicked screens and all this kind of stuff. And the natural tendency is to want to put it in. Now, can a good trick play help energy? Can it help the juice? Do players love that stuff? 100%. But the key thing I think you pointed on is you got to still be who you are. What you're good at got you to this point in the season. So let's not abandon those things. I heard a great strength coach talking about sprinters, and sometimes the guys say, well, we need to bring up his weaknesses. Well, if his strengths are what got him here, maybe we need to make sure that those strengths are exceptional, and those are going great. So if outside zone has been good to you, yeah, you want to bring up the inside zone. But you know what? Let's make outside zone the weapon, because that's what's got us here. So we'll keep the sword sharp on that. We'll keep the guys motivated, and we'll find some individual things that we can do better within that scheme to help keep those guys growing and motivated about that particular thing that's already shown them success.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I spoke a couple weeks ago on this podcast about a process for adding wrinkles to what you do. And I do think you have to look at that over the course of the season. You certainly don't want to become predictable, and teams can definitely start to key in on some of the things you're doing. So there's room for that, but I really think you fundamentally need to think about how do those changes affect the players who have to go out and execute it. And I would suggest that you want to stay away from anything that fundamentally changes the way things work. So maybe it is a different personnel group, or maybe it's a different formation than before, but you still go out and maybe do some of those other things. And certainly I'm a big fan of the trick play, something I've used throughout my career as a play caller. And those do add to the fun as well. So there are those opportunities. I'm just saying, I think you need to err on the side of doing less than doing more.
No, 100%. Like I said, a nice trick play. We've all seen the guys on the sideline get giggly. You know, they want it. I think the Eagles, we're talking about how in Philly special, one of the hardest parts was to not have the sideline give it away because they were so excited. Those things can add some great energy. But I really like what you said. Let's make sure that those plays stick to the fundamentals our guys are great with. So you don't need to find the coolest trick play. Maybe we look to find the trick play that fits who we are, what our guys do, how they block and move. And there's plenty of them out there, as I mentioned, on social media. So let's find the right ones, and then we can add a little bit of juice with that.
Well, Andy, this is a great conversation, a short one, maybe a little shorter than we usually have, but I think great for this time of the year. Man, I appreciate all those thoughts and insights you have. It was great this past week to be able to talk ball with you throughout a five-day period when we were in Phoenix shooting our next level of the tip of the spear contact system. And for coaches who want to get that, go to footballdevelopment.com and you can pick out 3 free videos. And what the footballdevelopment.com site gives you is essentially what we call our contact system. And it's blocking and defeating blocks. It's done in a different way. We're really excited about this next level of content we're putting out there and constantly adding to the system. So it's something you want to take a look into for sure.
I would say, having been at the shoot, knowing what's coming in level 2, I would encourage coaches to check level 1 out, learn the principles, learn the foundation that makes this course, and get yourself ready for level 2, because there's some great stuff coming. And I think guys will really, really appreciate the detail that's given on how we can best block or defeat this block. So check it out on footballdevelopment.com. Let us know what you think. Let us know what skills you'd like to see, and we'll keep making sure that website is getting updated with new and consistent information.
Coaches, we'll see you next week. And as always, you can contact us on Twitter. Check out our new Twitter handle from USA Football. It's FBDEVCoach. And mine is at Coach K Grabowski. Andy, go ahead and give your Twitter as well. I know you're active there.
I'm at USA Football MT. So USA Football MT is my Twitter account. Always happy to talk to coaches. And I'm really excited coaches have reached out from the podcast and through the social interaction, had quite a few calls and set up some online Skypes just to talk to guys at this point in the season looking for new ideas or looking how to insert competition, VDA, or any of the things we talked about on the podcast. So happy to jump on there and help you guys with some of the juice, energy, and motivational tactics.
Absolutely. Good luck this week, guys. Feel free to connect, and we'll be back at you next week with reducing player workload, and the following week talking about reducing collisions in practice. So as we get into this time of the year, taking out some of those things that maybe start to wear on our players. But best of luck this week. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.